last couple of shiur, we've been discussing Ribbis Deraisa, and the basic principle of Ribbis Deraisa is that it has to be Ribbis Ketzut, so it has to be an amount that was set, it's part of the deal. We saw a little bit about the Rambam and the other Rishonim, about whether it has to be set at the time of the Hava, or even later on it's considered to be set. The idea being is that there's some kind of an agreement, there's some kind of a setting into place of a very specific amount of Ribbis. Again, either the specific amount is Mamish X, or it's going to be a certain percentage, but there is a Ketzitza involved. Whenever we're lacking in terms of that ketzitza, by definition, we're not going to have ribbis deraisa. So to that background, that we now begin to discuss many scenarios of ribbis derabbanan that are described by the Mishnah, the Gemara, and the Zoneshach, which each one of them is going to be lacking in terms of that dimension of ketzitza, and therefore it's only going to be ribbis derabbanan. There are enough kaminos ladina between the ribbis deraisa and ribbis derabbanan. We mentioned one a couple of days ago about according to the simple reading of the Gemara, that the lova is not over the yisur when it's ribbis derabbanan, it's only sulafneva. We spoke about this, right? There, we'll talk a little bit later on about returning ribbis derabbanan is different from returning ribbis deraisa. We mentioned yesterday in Afkamina in terms of tzedakah funds on what to be ribbis derabbanan, not ribbis deraisa. So it's important to know whether in the deraisa world or the derabbanan world. So the Mishnah describes in Eidu Neshach a situation where I lend you money, and we're very straight Torah observant people, so I lend you $100 for $100. There's no ketzitza, I'm not expecting anything else in return. However, as an aside, somewhere along the way, you know, you decide to do me a certain favor. You decide to do me a favor that perhaps you wouldn't have done otherwise. We'll talk about that as we go along. You do me some kind of a favor. So that's smacks of ribbis. And that's not a ribbis deraisa, obviously, because there was no ketzitza, there was no agreement, nothing set in stone. But lemais, at the end of the day, I lent you $100, and now I'm getting back $100 plus a certain favor. Now that certain favor may have a monetary value placed on it, so that's tantamount to be receiving $120. That's going to be a problem. So the example that the Mishnah discusses is being malvis chaveiro layod bechatzei rechinam. If I lend you $100 and it happens to be that you have an apartment that's vacant, you have an empty apartment, and I decide to move into that apartment and I don't pay you rent. If I move into the apartment, I pay you rent. So well, good, I'm paying you rent, that's not a problem. But if I'm living in the apartment for a couple of days without paying you rent, so it turns out that you're really doing me a favor, and that favor is now viewed as a ripus, and that's going to be a problem. Again, it's not a problem deraisa, but it will be considered to be a problem with the Rabbanan. That's the example that the Mishnah gives, obviously not the only example, but that's one of the examples, at least, that the Mishnah and the Gemara elaborate upon as an example of this ribbis derabbanan. The Gemara then goes further and says that there is a famous sugya in the second parak of Bava Kama, some of you may remember, about forget about malva v'loiva relationship. What about a regular person? Dar b'chotza chaver shlomi daito. Do I have a right in dina mamunas if I know that you have an empty house and you're not around and it's not costing you anything? So I walk into the house and I move into the house for a week. I didn't say I'm allowed to do that, but if I did it, can you take me to a din Torah? Can you force me to pay for that hana'ah? So the Gemara says that's a funny type of situation, because on the one hand, I was nehenah from your property, so I got a week's worth of freeloading. On the other hand, you didn't lose anything. If you could have rented out that apartment to somebody else for that week, and now you couldn't do it because I was sitting there, that's a problem. Then for sure I'm b'chuyuf to pay. Then I was nehenah and you were chaser. But if it's zeh nehenah v'zeh chaser, what's that locha? So the Gemara has a long, long sugya in the second parak of Bava Kama about this. Zenen and Zelo Choser. And it could be that at the end of the day, it's possible Zenen and Zelo Choser. Maybe Enochai Lahalos Loschar. It's possible that I'm talking about Mukhiv to pay. Again, we're leaving out the details. The Gemara doesn't matter for now. So comes the Gemara and says in Bava Metzia, there's one thing that's for sure true. Even if you hold Zenen and Zelo Choser is potter, under normal circumstances, that wouldn't be Mukhiv to pay rent. But but that's only true that I don't have to pay rent if we don't have a malva v'lova type of relationship. I just stopped. I'm moving to Ru's house. I never lent Ru any money, so I just moved to his house. I'm snoring for a week, so then maybe he can take me to a din Torah, maybe he can't take me to a din Torah. But if I lent money to Ru, then for sure he can take me to a din Torah, because if he doesn't take me to a din Torah, if he lets me live in the house for free, that'll be a violation of Ribbis Derabbanan. So the Gemara says, in a sense, even something that maybe we couldn't put a price tag on, even though we couldn't technically have been motzi this mamon bedin, but once you're in a malva lova relationship, then you have to be concerned in terms of ribbis. So this is the Gemara that appears in Eizu Neshe. So comes Taisus in this Gemara and says, the Chora, if you take this Gemara to its logical conclusion, you'll lead to a somewhat of an absurd halacha. Says Taisus, what does that mean? That means that any time I lend you money, you can never do me any favor. You can never do anything. Let's say, Marshal, I lent you $100. Last week I lent you $100, and you still owe me the money. And it happens to be that you're driving, and I'm walking, and you want to pick me up and give me a lift. Not allowed to do that, says Taisus, because every time you do me any favor whatsoever, whether it's monetary value to the favor, no monetary value to the favor. Harai, the case of Dorba Chatzah Chaveiro doesn't have a monetary value. It could be we paskin, but ain't no tzarech la'alos l'skahar. But that's the din. Once there's a malv of a loy, but it looks like ribbis. It's ribbis de rabbanon. So says Taisus, that's ridiculous. Anytime I lend you $100, and now I come and I ask you, can you do me a favor, do this, do that, whatever, watch my kids for me for 5 minutes. Nope, not allowed to do it. Anytime I do any favor for you, that's considered to be ribbis de rabbanon. Taisus says that's a little bit strange. It's hard to believe that would be the case. So comes Taisus and says, the stomach, there's got to be some parameters. There's got to be some guidelines. Taisus is looking and searching. What are the guidelines? You might never tell us what the guidelines are. So Taisus suggests possible parameters to this halacha. So one suggestion Taisus gives is, maybe the case the Gemara gives of Dar B'Chatzeiro, that's something which is a mita d'far hesia. It's something that draws attention to itself. Everybody knows Reuven's got an empty apartment. Everyone knows Shimon just is living in the apartment for a month. So people are going to start to say, wait a second, Shimon's living in the apartment? Didn't Shimon just borrow, didn't Reuven just borrow $10,000 from Shimon last week? That's interesting. He just borrowed money from him, and now the mouth is living in the apartment. This looks like ribbis. So when it's a mita d'far hesia, it's something that's going to draw attention to it, that's considered to be a problem. Okay, stop to do you a little favor, give the guy a ride around the corner, that's considered to be a ribbis d'rabbanan. No one's going to realize it. So that's like a marzai, like a halacha, Taisa says. It's a hagadar, if it's a mita d'far hesia, then it's a problem. If not, then it's not a problem. That's Tosa's first suggestion. Again, there's no mokum in the Gemara for that distinction, but Tosa just picks up on the fact that the example that the Gemara gives happens to be a mita d'far hesia. Then Taisa suggests another pshat. Taisa says, maybe the answer is like this. If you look at the case of the Gemara, it's Hadar b'chatzah chaveiro shelo midaito. It's I lent money to Ru last week, and now I want to go ahead and move into Ru's house without asking him. I didn't get his permission to live in the house. So Taisa says, that's funny. You know why that's funny? Mehechit Taisa, I'm going to go, what chutzpah do I have to go move into somebody's house without asking his permission? What's the answer? Why do I have such chutzpah? Because in the back of my mind, I know I lent him money a week ago, so he owes me a taifa. So psychologically, when I go move into Ru's house without his permission, it must be that I'm doing it on smach the original halvah. That's where the ribbis problem kicks in, because there's now a relationship, there's now a connection in our minds between the extra favor that's being done and the original loan. That's ribbis derabbanan. But says Taisus, what would that halacha be as follows? What if Ru's around? And I lent them $1,000 last week, and I say, right away, Ru, I need the guest house for Shabbos. Can we please use it for the night? So Taisus says, that's okay. That's not a problem, says Taisus. Because if Ru's the type of guy who very often lends out the guest house, so he's not getting any money on the guest house anyway, so he's not, in his mind, in my mind, there's no correlation between the fact that he's letting me live in the house and the ribbis, and the original halvah. So that doesn't smack like ribbis. That's not even ribbis to Rabbanan. So that tells the second answer. Taisus says, the only reason why it's a problem is only because it's shelo midaito. So mehecha teisa, guy's going to come move to somebody's house, shelo midaito. It must be a smach the halvah. That's where the ribbis to Rabbanan issue kicks in. But if it's midaito, so midaito is better than shelo midaito. So those are the two answers of Taisus. Lemais, how do we pass it in the halacha? So everybody agrees that one of these answers has to be right. We can't throw out both answers. Then you're left with the absurdity. You can never borrow, you can never do anybody a favor. Anytime someone borrows money from you, so you can never do anybody a favor. That's it, can't be. It doesn't make any sense. So it must be one of the answers that Taisus is right. Which one is right? We're not sure. So comes the Shulchan Aruch and Paskin, and the Chumra is of both of these tenets. So comes the Shulchan Aruch and says that Lamaisa, if you want to do somebody a favor and you have a malvah loavi relationship with them, so you have to be very, very careful that you don't violate either one of these two things. Number one, if it's a milsul de farhesia, so it's something which draws a lot of attention to itself, even though you're doing it b'rishuso, means to be chayshish for the first answer of Taisus, as a separate, independent answer. Anytime it's a milsul de farhesia, you have to be machmer. And then the Shulchan Aruch says, if you have the second answer of Taisus, without the first answer in Taisus, you have to be machmer. That also. So if you want to do any favor to the person without getting his permission, you want to invoke a favor without getting permission, even if it's not a milsul de farhesia, you have to be chayshish. So if you want to walk to the guy's house, nobody knows, nobody sees, and you're just going to borrow something from him without anybody knowing it, so and you're doing it on smach, that original havah, which is understood, but he takes it otherwise. Why are you taking the guy's property? So that's also considered to be a problem. So lemaisa shulchan aruch, we paskin that both answers are correct. And therefore, the only way to circumvent this problem is that both conditions have to be met. Number one, it has to be something which is significant, which draws a lot of attention. Number one, and number two, you have to get reshus from the person. If you don't get reshus from the person, then that by definition is going to pose a problem. Both conditions are met, then the Shulchan Aruch is making. But even that's not the end of the story. Comes Tyson and says that when are we having this whole discussion? That's only when the Malvin and the Lova have been friends for many, many years. So the Malvin and Lova have been such good friends for so long, it was conceivable that even before the Ovo took place, the Malva would have asked for this favor, the Malva would have received this favor from the Loiva. But what if you have a relationship of a Malva and a Loiva? They don't know each other. I never met Ruf. He hasn't been in my shiur for the last 3 years. I just met him today, and I am starting my business. I borrowed $10,000 from him, and then all of a sudden, Ruf comes to get little favors from me. And all the little favors happen not to meet the criteria of Tosis. That means they're all very private types of things, and every time he's asking Rishos, so technically speaking, he's been Yotze both days in Tosis. So comes Tosis himself and says, that's absurd. That's for sure out of the question. Because here it's obvious that the relationship is a relationship of Malva Veloiva. And the only reason why all of a sudden, I never knew who Ru was till yesterday, so all of a sudden we're getting favors from each other, that must be because of the Halvah. So that's also considered to be a problem of Rivers. So now you need three conditions that have to be met in order for us to let the Malva get certain, receive certain favors from the Loiva. So number one, it has to be a very private type of a thing. Number two, it has to be Ayyadei Rishos. He can't just do it on his own. And number three, they have to have a previous relationship where it was normal for him to do these types of favors before. So last year I let Ru live in my guest house for a couple of days. So that would meet that requirement. But again, if it's most of the Rishos, it's going to be problematic. So Lamaisa Shulchan Aruch, that's what it says, that the only time to permit these kinds of extra special favors only mutter if all three conditions are met. Again, even if you violate this, then there's only ribbis d'rabban, there's no ketzitza, but this would be a problem. This is something you have to be careful about when you develop a relationship with a malva and a loiva.
Middleman
is nothing. He's just whatever he wants to do. He's not lending any money. Unless he personally took out the loan and then is re-lending it to you. But he's just a minimum broker and a loan.
Let's say in this case, the lawyer would rent it to the guy for the full amount.
Yeah, for sure, that's the mission of the fairest. Mishnah says, I'm Alvis Chaver, lo yaski me menu b'pachos. Mishnah says, lo yaski me b'pachos.
Is the buyer saying that it's straight up?
No, what exactly means? The word will get out that the guy is living in my house for free. But if I'm renting an apartment to somebody, so just let him rent the apartment. I have to rent it at fair market value. Whatever I would have normally rented to somebody else, that's where if I
everybody knows there was a halva. I mean,
okay. No, I don't know if you have to. You have to fire saying what the price is. We mentioned yesterday that the Mishnah says the end of Ezer Neshach, another example of Ribbis Terabban, the other Gemara of the favorite Shulim of the Rabbanon. That's what's called Ribbis Mugdamas and Ribbis Mucheras. So we mentioned yesterday in the context of Ribbis Ayde Shaliach, so the Mishnah at the end of Ezer Neshach says that if I'm expecting to borrow money from somebody, but I just want to make sure that I actually get that money, so before I actually take out the loan, so I send a little gift just to express my Akarasatov that he's about to lend me the money. That's Ribbis Mugdamas. So the Mishnah says you're not allowed to do that. Then the Mishnah says the opposite case, where it was Mucheres, the loan's already over, and now I paid it back already 6 months ago, and now I just want to send you a birthday card and a birthday gift and tell you how much I appreciate the loan from 6 months ago. That would be called Ribbis Mucheres. Either one of those are problematic. But again, both of them are only Midrabanan because they're not related to the Havah itself. They're not built into the system itself. I don't think it happens anymore. They used to have, in banks, they used to have this with the gifts. You still have, you open an account in a bank, they used to give you an alarm clock. That used to be, still do. They still do it. I need an alarm clock. So if anyone so the folks can talk about that. The Jewish banks, can they do that? So is that the shalom ribbis mukdemes? That means they're giving you. You didn't even lend them the money yet. I walked into the bank. I walked into the bank. I maybe walked into the bank to I don't know to go check the currency for today, and they give you a free alarm clock before you even start the transaction. So that's why they're giving it to you, because they want to lure you in to be the customer. That may be a problem. That may be a problem. It's Mugdemus. What does Heteriska in the alarm clock? This strange mutton Heteriska. So we'll talk about that a little bit when we get back to banks down the line again. Okay, anyway, get back to this. There's a problem of Ribbis Mugdemus. There's a problem of Ribbis Mucheres. So the Mishnah describes the case of Ribbis Mugdemus, that the Lova sends a message to the Malva, and he said, supposed to up and come Malva. He says, I'd like to borrow money from you at some point, and he has a nice token of my appreciation beforehand. In the case of Ribbis Mucheres, He says explicitly, thank you so much for this gift, but I'm sorry, thank you much for the loan, and here's a beautiful gift 6 months later. But the way the Mishnah describes the case, it sounds like the person's mamar spelling out Baruch Avidcha Ktana, that this is why the gift is being given. What if the person doesn't spell it out? What if he just happens by some chance to send a happy birthday gift to somebody, and there's two days later he asks for a loan? So what's the din? Is that only considered to be Rebbe's Bugdamas? Or should we say no? The Chum only asked this when it's spelled out mamash explicitly. So this is the Machlekes HaRishon, Machlekes in the Shulchan Aruch, Machlekes in the Mechaber in the Ramah. So the Ramah is makel that if it's not mamash spelled out, it's not considered to be a problem, unless the following, unless it is obvious, unless it is clear from context that it's Zvam Shebaleib, Libo Veleib Kaladim, which is one of another context in Halacha. What if I'm about to, I know that tomorrow I'm supposed to come and ask you for a big loan, and I go ahead and I send you a really, really big gift. This is not just some token. I want to be, this is not the Hatul Recha Kamocha week. I want to be nice to all members of Klal Yisrael. I'm sending you $1,000 gift because I'm about to ask you for a $1 million loan. So it says, Tyson's, there are more quotes from the Smagar, that when it's a Matana Meruba, when it's something which is so much, it's so obvious, so that's considered to be a problem, even if it's not actually spelled out. So one has to be careful about these kinds of things. If you really want to enter into a relationship with a Malvin Lova, you have to be careful not to spell out the favors even beforehand, or to spell it afterwards. And even according to the Nekilim, if it's something which is very significant, which is obvious to the onlookers, that's going to be a problem of looking like Ribbis as well. There is one possible exception to this rule of Ribbis Mugdamis, Ribbis Mukharis, that the sugi that appears in the Masechet Gittin, who remembers from Mashiach? No one remembers? The Chaf and Gittin, remember the Taisus? So if you remember, Nuben, remember? Who's around? No, who's around last year? You went around last year, right? No, that's it. So there's a sugi in Masechet Gittin with a... So the Gemara discusses the Zaken Echad. Zaken Echad, I malv l'chol b'nei ha'kfar, right? Vaguely? Brings back some memories, no? Not bad, a little bit, right? A little bit. The Gemara tells a story that there was a Talmid Chacham in town that he used to lend money to everybody in the town. So the Gemara says he was the only guy who let it write in town. So he doesn't let it write. He used to authorize the shtaras in town. So the Gemara has a whole discussion about when you have normally it's the Lova who's supposed to write the shtar. Here it was the Malva who was writing the shtar. The problem is, the Malva writes the shtar, maybe that's not a good shtar, because the shtar is supposed to be written by the Das and Miskaya, like let's say in the case of Get. So the husband has to authorize the shtar. He's losing his wife, so he's being mocked his wife to herself again. So he has to, the paper has to belong to him. There's a whole discussion about that. What if she writes what if she provides the paper for the Get? Is it understood that she's mocked it to the husband or not? So in that context, there's a whole discussion about the Zochen Echad was being Malva L'chol B'nei Ha'ir. So maybe that was a problem, that he was the wrong person who was owing the paper. So in the middle of that discussion, Taisa says that the Gemara cannot be talking about a regular shtar halva, because a regular shtar halva is not a shtar kinyan, remember from last year. This din that the Das and Mischayev has to own the paper, this is only true when someone is actually selling something. So if I'm either selling your land, or I'm giving you a present, or I'm divorcing his wife, things of that nature, so then the halacha says that he has to be the one who's providing the paper. But if you have a shtar that's just a shtar raya bi'alma, the purpose of the shtar is just to serve as a proof that there was a transaction that took place 6 months before, so why is there any halacha that you have to own the paper? There's no such halacha. Why is the Gemara talking about it? There's a whole sugya about the zokan echash e'malva l'chol b'nei ha'ir, and there was some kind of a problem that he was providing the paper on behalf of all the loyvers. What was the problem? So Taisus works and works and works, and Taisus says, we got the case wrong. Taisus says, we got the whole thing wrong. The Gemara is not talking about the shtar halva. The Gemara is assuming that, it doesn't say it's at all in the Mishnah or in the Gemara, but the Gemara is assuming that since the Zaken Echad was lending money to people, so they were probably trying to be nice to him in return also. And then once in a while, they would give him matanos, they would give him gifts, they would give him small pieces of property in exchange for all the business, all the goodwill that he was giving them money all along as halvas. Taisa says, Mustam, it's those shtaros that the Gemara is clearing about. But how could the Zochen Echad be the one who's writing the shtaros? Those are shtari matana. If somebody wants to give the Zochen Echad, they wanted to give him a gift of land, so that's a shtar kinyan. So you require the paper has to belong to the meicher. And these guys didn't know how to write, they didn't know anything. He was providing all the paper for them. So it must be that was what the Gemara is talking about. So again, Taisa's mamash made up a whole story. The Gemara didn't say, boom, not a word about any matana. The Gemara says, the Zochen was being malva money to the Bnei Kfar. That's all the Gemara says. The Taisa says, Mestama, the Zochen was being malva money. Mestama, they were being nice in return, and they were giving him matanas along the way. That's how Taisa's whole kip with the Gemara is. So comes the Beis Yosef and says, wait a second, hold on. He said, did anyone just catch that story. The Zokin's lending money to the Bnei Akvar, and then they're presumably returning the money, and in addition to returning the money, at some point they're giving little gifts of token of appreciation. I think that's a violation of Ribbis. That's classic Ribbis Mucharis. So what's going on? So how could that be true? So unless you hold that maybe the Yisr only applies when your mamers spell it out, but to give him a ton of land, they were giving him a little too, but nothing. Instead, they're giving him a nice piece of land. So I think I'm a ton of a root. But most people, I usually don't give a piece of land. When was the last time you decided to give a piece of your chunk of your backyard to your someone you don't know? So it's obvious that you're giving it to Tavris and Rivers. It's Mamish classic Rivers Mucharis. So what's Tavris talking about? Tavris has made up a whole kim to the south because the Valley of Tavris had a problem with Shtakid and Shtarai and Gittin and Matonis and Maises. So they ran into a big problem with Uchas Rivers. So the only way to solve this problem is to say the Yesh Gvulbet of her. Ribbis Mucharis has got to end at some point. I borrowed $1,000 from Ru last year. 20 years later, I want to give him a birthday present. I'm allowed to do that. How long do I remain a Malvin loving the type of relationship? So Minat Torah, once the Chov is paid back, so it's Ribbis. It can't be an Isra Ribbis once the Chov is ready for Ru. But Midrabanan, it still looks a little bit like a Zman of a love relationship, but it must be Mustam if it's a Zman Muflog, if it's so long already, so then it's not even called Ribbis Mucharis. What's the Shia Medavar? Hard to know. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't tell us what the Shia is, but there's got to be some Shia where if it's so Muflog, Advarim, then you don't have to be concerned anymore. Post can say, provided that you don't mind to spell it out. If you literally spell it out, remember, Ruth, 20 years ago, you lent me money, and I finally was Matzliach. I want to show my token appreciation. I paid you back 20 years ago. I want to give you a piece of land that was a thank you. That would be a problem. That's Ribbis Mucharis, Mamash Beferish. But if it's not a Ribbis Mucharis, that's Beferish, it's just a Dover, Matan Meruba, that Ke'ilu with Beferish, so then this distinction makes a lot of sense. But if it's close to the Halva, then people are going to remember, hey, Rabbi Salovsky has given her a piece of land. He just finished a Havah with him last week, so this doesn't look so good. But if 20 years from now they see Rabbi Salovsky giving Ru a Matana, who's going to remember? People don't remember what they learned last semester. They're going to remember what they... People... No b'chin on Rivers. It's all total. So people aren't going to remember that the guy lent money so long ago. So that's not Ribbis Mucharis. If Imamish spells out Baruch HaBitcha K'tana, that remember 20 years ago, remember 20 years ago, they lent you money, that's going to be a problem with Ribbis Mucharis. So basically, what are the general rules in terms of Ribbis Mugdamis and Ribbis Mucharis? So we know for a fact that it's not Deraisa. It cannot possibly be Deraisa because it's not Ketzutza. It's going to be Derabana. It's going to be Derabana and it applies either before or after, but according to some Rishonim, it only applies if it's mamish spelled out. And even according to those who are maker, that it only applies when it's spelled out. If it's muchach, mitocha inyan, if it's a matana merubah, that's going to be a problem. But no pun intended, the buck stops here. There's a certain point where you say it's ready too late, it's ready too far. So unless you mamish spell it out explicitly, just because it's a matana merubah, that's going to be mutter after a certain point. How long is that certain point? I don't know. The person can try to figure out some kind of a cheshbon, some kind of a shia, how long that point is. But again, the basic issue of Ribbis Mucharis and Ribbis Mucharis is another category of these Ribbis Derabanan. So far we have two examples of Ribbis Derabanan. We have favors that are done, which are not Ketzutza, which is subject to their rules, that the Balei Tais is trying to figure out what the rules are. Then we have the Ribbis Mucharis and Ribbis Mucharis story, which is subject to its possible rules after what's considered to be a problem with Derabanan, and what's considered to be Mutter Mucharis.
Part of the cheshbon is how much the loan was, to try and figure out what the favor is.
Okay, could be. I don't know if people don't give that because Ribbis Lamais, even Shalprut is also. Even the smallest amount of.
Means,
is it connected to the.
When it's not explicit, whether it's done in the context. No, maybe.
There's another category of Ribbis that sounds like it's only the Ribbis Derabanan, it doesn't sound like it possibly the Raisa. That's what's called Ribbis Devarim. So that's the Mishnah also, in the very end of Ezun Eshech, the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to take Ribbis, even if the Ribbis that you're taking is not tangible, it's not really worth anything, it's just words alone. So words alone could potentially be a problem of Ribbis Devarim. I lent you $1,000, and you returned me $1,000, plus you did something, you said something nice to me. So you're saying something nice to me is considered to be Ribbis Devarim. How do you know there's an Issa Ribbis Devarim? The Gemara puts a pasuk that Ribbis called Neshech Lo Sashich Lachicha Neshech Kasem Neshech Neshech Kol Devar Sheishach. Kol Davar, says the Gemara, Kol Davar filu dibor Rabbi Mashma. So even if the ribbis is not fine, is not literally worth the shor pruta, but just the words alone are considered to be a problem. Does the Gemara mean this is a real din min haTorah? Is it conceivable this could ever be midaraisa? Very unlikely that this ribbis should be a ribbis deraisa, because if the woman says ein l'chalak haKitzutza Rabbi Mizel, this is the classic not Kitzutza. So there is a strange Taisus tucked away in the beginning of Masechet Kedushin, but Taisus does open up the possibility that maybe this ribbis would be deraisa sometimes. There is a mitzvah in the Torah of Hashavas HaAvot, Hashavas HaMashkan. If I take a mashkan from you, if I take a mashkan from you, you're a klolim, how I have to take it, either with your Yerushua, social base, whatever there are rules as to when we'll have to take a mashkan, but in certain circumstances I'm going to take a mashkan. So I've lent you $1,000, and now afterwards I get a mashkan from you. So I go, so Beis Din goes and collects the mashkan from you. What do I want as a mashkan? I want your shirt as a mashkan. So I take your shirt, I come to the Torah and says, wait a second, it's not nice to the guy. How's the guy going to be able to go out on the street? Or let's say I take your pajamas from you. How's the guy going to go to sleep? So comes the Torah and says, Hashav tashiv lois avot kivah shemesh v'shechab esam asov v'rechekah. So it's one pasuk in Pashat Mishpatim, one pasuk in Pashat Kisetzei. So the Torah says, the mitzvah shav esam mashkin. So anytime I take begadim from you that you need, so the mitzvah shav esam mashkin is, I have to give it back to you at the time when you need it. So I'm permitted to have your shirt in the middle of the night. We're not wearing your shirt in the middle of the night, so I'm permitted to hold your mashkin at that point. And that's probably going to be a good incentive for you to pay back the loan, because it's going to be a big hassle every time you're going to have to give up your shirt every you have to call me every time you get up for Shachris to make sure you have a shirt ready. So it's going to accomplish what it's supposed to accomplish, but I have a mitzvah to return. B'shechabes amosam v'rechek, there's a mitzvah there, I get to return the mashkan. Or with pajamas, I got to return it to you at night, and then I take it back in the daytime. Sure, assuming there's no naps in the afternoon, I'm home free. So there's a mitzvah of a shavas ha'azot. Somebody just told me a story, I don't know whether it's true or not, but it's an interesting story. They told me that that apparently Reb Chaim Kanievsky said to somebody that they wanted to, Chaim Kanievsky wanted to lend him money. So Chaim Kanievsky went up to one of the Tamid or something. He says, let's give you a shekel. So I didn't know what he was talking about. Let's give him a shekel. So then Reb Chaim said to him, I want to take a mashkan. So the guy said, of course, didn't know what he was talking about. So he said, okay. So Reb Chaim said to him, give me a hat as a mashkan. So he gave his hat as a mashkan. Then he returned it back. And he said, Hini muchum zum l'kai mitzvah seishol Torah, to return the beggar of the mashkan. He wanted to fulfill the mitzvah, Hashavas Avot. No, he should start a new thing around Yeshiva. Fulfill this mitzvah. That's what he said. Somebody told me a story a couple of weeks ago. Anyone hear the story? I don't know. Maybe they wrote up in Mishpacha. I don't know. It's an exciting activity in Klai. So, okay, anyway. Like the people who try to fulfill all the mitzvah, please, Boris, and as well, Chaim and Keva, and they should get all that. So part of that thing. Okay, anyway. So there's a real mitzvah of Hashavas. Somebody has to be alone with Shishayla on the. He said to me, but when you take the hat, the yom, so is that, for that split second, is that a bit, but normally, I come to you and I take your pajamas in the daytime, and then I return it to you at night. So when I take the hat, b'shas ma'isa, that you still need the hat, so is that considered to be a split second? Obviously, Reb Chaim, yes, you help. Not that way. Somebody has some good writing, but not that way. What? Okay, maybe. I don't know. Strange story. Okay. So comes the Torah and says that you should do this mitzvah. It's a great mitzvah to do. Why is it such a great mitzvah to do? B'shecha b'sal masal v'recheka. Because ulcha tiyat zedakos neshem lokecha, that if you do this mitzvah, so the life is going to give you a big bracha, a big to do, and Hakadosh Baruch Hu is going to reward you. Ulcha tiyat zedakos neshem lokecha. There's a famous gemara in Maseches Kedushin Daf Ches, Psachim, getting other places about the gemara's bottom of the kasha. The gemara says, now what do you mean ulcha? What does the pasuk mean? Ulcha tiyat zedakos neshem lokecha. So tzedakah. Usually you think of tzedakah as a poor person coming to you and asking you for something that belongs to you. So I'm going to give the person tzedakah. So comes the Gemara and asks, wait a second. He said, who owns the hat? And I said, the hat doesn't belong to the malva. The hat belongs to the light. It's only a mashkon. If the guy reneges on the loan, you never pay it back. Then the malva can keep the hat. The kol zman that the chov is still not yet faruah, so the real owner of the hat is still the loiva. So what do you mean the chot gets tzedakah lefnei Hashem lekecha? What do the words mean? So comes the Gemara and says, Amr Reb Yitzchak mikan lebal chayiv shekane mashkan. That's what the Gemara says. Mikan is that from here that a bal chayiv is kind of the mashkan, that when Reb Chaim Kanievsky takes the hat, he's kind of the hat. Apidin Mamris and Chashim Mishpat, the hat belongs to him, to certain halachas, and when he returns the hat, he's involving himself in an act of tzedakah. That's what Gemara says. Rabbi Yitzchak, the Kalam Achav Shekhania Mashkan, and then Afkamina Zadina, and Nochas Kiddushin, and once again the Gemara says the Kiddushin of Ches, you can actually be Makadish and Isha with the Mashkan, because it actually belongs to you. Then Afkamina is in Nochas Psachim. Anyone learn Sayyid Pekham Psachim? No? Soon, Kosha. There's a whole Sugin of Lamed Alf in Psachim about Ba'i Rovei Motzei on the Mashkan. Let's say if I lend money to a goy, the guy gives me chametz as a mashkan, I have a pizza pie in the freezer as a mashkan, am I in violation of my Ravei Motzei? So there are different hechashmitas ksafim about, there's a chov meshabit with the mashkan. So that's a whole principle of halachah and mashkan derived ultimately from this pasuk of l'chati tzedakah, the main akana tzedakah minayin. So comes to us and says, how did Rabbi Yitzchak get to that point? How did Rabbi Yitzchak figure that out? That it must be the Baal Chayim is carrying the mashkin. What's pshat? So Taisa gives two pshat. So one pshat, Taisa says, the simple pshat. Taisa says, basically we said that the mitzvah tzedakah by definition means tzedek b'shel chavetein loy. I can't give tzedakah with somebody else's money. It's called the Robin Hood. I steal from the rich, get to the poor. That's not tzedakah. Tzedakah means to take from my own pocket and give it to an ani. So if the Torah classifies this returning of the mashkin as an act of tzedakah, it must be that the Torah is being meramis to this idea that the Baal Chayim is actually kind of the mashkin. That's what Taisa says as pashim pshat in the Gemara. But then Taisus throws out another possibility. Taisus says, no, maybe that's not what it means. Maybe you can theoretically conceive of a person fulfilling tzedakah with Yanim's money, with somebody else's money also. So what's the pshat in the Gemara? How do Rabbi Yitzchak know that he's kind of the mashkan? Because the pasuk says, "Hu v'shachah b'samaso uverachecha," that the person is going to give you a bracha. The Torah is describing, the Torah is sanctioning that the loive is being mevarech as a malve. The person is giving a kavaldik a bracha for returning the mashkan. So comes Tosfos and says, how can he do that? How can the Torah permit that? Isn't that a violation of Ribbis Devarim? How dare the loiv happen? How can Shbrachah write into his Torah in violation of Ribbis Devarim? That the loiv is going to give a brach to the mouth, he's not allowed to do that. Oh, unless you say a different word. Unless you say that Baal Chayv is already kind of the mashkan. So the Baal Chayv is kind of the mashkan. It's my hat. So now the guy's giving me a bracha. He's not giving me a bracha for the whole vav. He's giving me a bracha for letting him use my hat. I'm kind of that. If you hold the Baal Chayv is ain't no kind of mashkan. So I was never kind of the mashkan. So what big favor am I doing him? The only favor I'm doing him was the loan that I gave him last week. So how dare you give me a bracha for that? That's a violation outright of Ribbis Devarim. So Zemin Fandor, you see from this whole razzle-dazzle Shtukl Torah that the Torah is permitting the loiva, is describing the loiva giving me a bracha to the mouth. It must be that the Baal Chayv is kind of mashkan. That's what Taisa says. That's the more complicated pshat in the Gemara. So there's a big problem with Taisa's pshat. What's the big problem? Taisa's teaching up a pasuk in Chumash. We're learning about Baal Chayv Kedemash is a din deraisa, and Afkamidis for Kedushin, for Shmita, for Bai Rove Matzid, a dinim deraisa that depend upon the principle of Baal Chayv Kedemash. And the whole principle of Baal Chayv Kedemash is learned out from Chazal's understanding that otherwise it would be a violation of Ribbis Devarim here. Azma, there'd be Ribbis Devarim. Ribbis Devarim is only Derabbanan. It's always Kotzutz. I lent you the money on the tonight. You're going to give me a bracha. What kind of joke is that? So there's no ribbis ketzutz over here. There's no ribbis derais over here. So this taisa is pilei blimes. Taisa can not know what to do with this taisa. Mashmalos in this taisa is one day in taisa that ribbis derais is not mishnis to derais. The Gemara means it literally when it says kol davar sheyishach afilu dibor. So the pasuk point out it's hard to understand. The pasuk pshat is clearly like that, not like that in the Gemara. That's what Rabbi Yitzchak meant. It may no kind of tzedakah minayin. The Gemara meant it's a ribbis devarim. The Gemara didn't even quote the ribbis devarim mission. The Gemara didn't even quote the pasuk of v'shachah v'samos v'rechecha. The Gemara just says it may no kind of tzedakah minayin. It sounds much more like the other day in Taisus. That just the mere fact that I'm being yaitzed if it's a tzedakah is proof positive that it's mine. It's like with ribbis devarim. So the pasuk devarim is notwithstanding that difficult Taisus. The Pasha Dvarim is that Ribbis Dvarim is on a Midrabbon. It's not Ketzut, so it cannot possibly be Deraisa. It's just playing out Ribbis Dvarim. Okay, good. So it's Ribbis Dvarim. Very nice. So we'll still talk about it. What are the guidelines? What are the parameters of this of Ribbis Dvarim? So comes the Mishnah, gives quite an example of how far reaching this goes. The Mishnah says that if a person borrows money from you, so they're not supposed to give you a Shalom Aleichem. They shouldn't. Even not addressing the money. They see you in the shuk. The next day, they're not supposed to give you shalom. So comes the Gemara, qualifies that, and says, that means if they were an unfriendly person beforehand. As I walk by, I live in a certain community that nobody ever says good Shabbos to anybody. So, community, no one says good Shabbos. So, terrible thing, Mamisha. Terrible thing. So, I walk past somebody in the street, and all of a sudden, I've walked past this guy's house 30 years on my way to my shul, and he never said good Shabbos to me. All of a sudden, because yesterday I lent him $10,000, he gives me a shalom aleichem, a good Shabbos, kodesh, zechus, yes, mitzrayim, the works, man. We spoke about this once. That's the way to be Yotze Kiddush Deraisa. The Kvager has a suffix that maybe by saying a Shabbos, a Yotze Kiddush Deraisa. So the Mishnah Berurah says he has two titles against Rabbi Kvager. Number one, there's a deek from the Rambam, you have to say Shabbos Kodesh, you have to mention the Kacho. And number two, the Gemara Pesachim says you have to say Zechatz Yis Mitzrayim. So if you say to a person, good Shabbos Kodesh, Zechatz Yis Mitzrayim, then you stand the fighting chance to be Yotze. So that's what the guy does. He gives me a Zah warm, gives a hug and a kiss, and good Shabbos, how the wife, how the kids, everyone. So comes the Mishnah says that's a problem. If the guy always gave me good Shabbos, he gives me the same bland good Shabbos, he gives me the same non-Shabbos as he always did. So that's not considered to be a problem. Ribbis Devarim, there's no change in his attitude. Mikoach the whole vault. So Ribbis Devarim is a problem, but it's only a problem in a situation where he wouldn't otherwise have done that. Pesachim say, what's the halacha of the following case? Let's say I lent you money yesterday. I never had a relationship with you. I never said good Shabbos to you. You never said good Shabbos to me. Like that song, no? The Ashkenazim is Friday, right? How do you do me? Okay. What? Yeah. What's his name? The Klein was common, right? Yeah. Klein was common and his friend, whatever. Rachami. Okay, good. So I never say a Shabbos, you say a Shabbos. All of a sudden I lent you $10,000 and I'm going to be the nice guy. I lent you the money and I say a Shabbos to you first tomorrow morning. Now you're stuck. So you got to return that good Shabbos enough. You got to remark the shalom. So the post can make it, you'll have to be mocked to shalom. You know why? Because the halacha is the Gemara says in Brachas that if somebody's mocked him to you shalom and you don't return it, that's an avera. So you're a goyzum man. That's not right not to return. You should have said shalom first. But if you didn't say shalom first, you're mechuyev to return the shalom. So one can argue that the reason why you're responding in Shabbos to me is not because of the loan. It's because you don't want to be in violation of that Gemara. So you don't want to be in violation of someone who doesn't mock the shalom, but that's not considered to be a violation of Ribbis Devarim. Ribbis Devarim is, if you have no other incentive, you never said hello to me for the last 20 years, and all of a sudden you give me a baruch habo, good morning, that's considered Ribbis Devarim. But if we can explain away what you're doing for some other reason, that you in the last 20 years, if I would have said good morning to you, you would have responded, I just never bought a thing in morning. In a chanami, for the last 20 years I've been saying good morning, you never respond, and now all of a sudden you respond, then you have to discuss that. But if the bottom line is the same principles we saw before, if your mahanami, what you're doing to benefit me, is somehow linked to the loan in some shape or form, that's a problem. If you can explain it away that it's based on something else, then it's not considered to be this problem of Ribbis Devarim. Then you have other kinds of shailas, some very real shailas that come up in terms of Ribbis Devarim. The most famous shaila that comes up in terms of Ribbis Devarim is the thank you shaila. He's permitted to say thank you for Havah. Very, very common shaila. What's the din? Machleik is a poskim. So Rav Moshe thought it was a problem. Rav Moshe thought just to say a token thank you, he thought it was a problem. Poskim said, even according to Rav Moshe, that maybe you could say thank you perhaps for the tircha, not for the loan itself. I mean, you know that the guy had to schlep to the bank, the guy had to go get his lawyer, the guy had to do a lot of other things in order to get you the money. So maybe you can argue that's right. But he had some loan itself, so you're not permitted to say thank you. And others disagree. Come from Shlomo Zalman thought that's not a bracha. Thank you, just a thank you. It's not a not considered to be with the bracha that the Mishnah in the Gemara was describing in terms of Ribbis Devarim. There was another shaila of Ribbis Devarim that was also a fairly common shaila. Let's say somebody lends somebody money, they need to publish a sefer. Lend you $10,000 to put out your sefer. So what do? What's going to be on the front page of the sefer? A big hakar satoi, v'da brachas, yanucha, roshim, and a shemayim, with a big marbid, one who's Tanukai Torah, the one who let me money to put out the sefer, you give that big bracha to the malveh. And then, of course, you're also going to pay back $20,000. What's it in? Classic Ribbis Devarim. So I'm giving him back the $20,000. If he wouldn't have lent me the $20,000, I wouldn't have put his name in the sefer. So that's considered to be Ribbis Devarim. So Rav Moshe, very surprisingly, was making on the shayla. Rav Moshe is a chiddush gadol on this. It's funny because Rav Moshe was the machmer, the thank you, he's making on this. Why is he making on this? So Moshe says it depends on how you word the thank you, the quote unquote thank you. Says Rav Moshe, the iser is for me to be mevarach you. That's the iser. So I'm not allowed to say have a good day. I'm not allowed to say have a good Shabbos or something. I'm not allowed to say thank you. I'm giving you something. But what I am permitted to do is I could hand it over to the Rebbeinu Shalom. So I am requesting from the Rebbeinu Shalom that the Rebbeinu Shalom bestows his wonderful brachas on all those people who lent me $20,000 to print my sefer. So that you're allowed to do. So much as you have to be careful how you word the haskama, how you word the hakdama. So you have to word the hakdama by saying that if the guy gives you the money as a gift, he wants to sponsor the sefer, then you can write as much as you want. But if he's not giving you any gifts, he wants the $20,000 back. The first $20,000 from that sale, he wants them back. So Rav Moshe said, if you word the haskama, you word the hakdama in such a way that, you know, he wrote something that the Rebbeinu Shalom should be mevarech, this wonderful yid who put up the money for the sefer, so that's okay. I'm not giving him a personal bracha. So I just disagree with that, because Rav Yashi and other apostles of staff, who said that, it's a hagdara, it's a lomdash hagdara. But nice, at the end of the day, he feels good. He's all smiley, that he's walking around, flashing around the sefer, that the lova was mahana him, by writing these tremendous brachas, Yanucha Roshem and Hashemayim. So that's considered to also be a problem of Rebbe's Devar. Again, Rav Moshe had some interesting shittas about Rebbe's Devar. He was machmer and thank you, but he was making one of these funny types of brachas. Anyway, again, the whole list of...
You're
acknowledging that he paid? That he paid for it? Okay, maybe.
Is it so far off from the story that you said before about something else? Here, he's basically being toilet in the fact that the person gave the money for the sake of a safer.
Yeah, but he lent me the money. He didn't give me the money. He lent me the money.
I'm saying he lent me the money, but he lent it for the sake of being modest prayer. So I'm being toilet in that. I mean, that's the focus on Hashem. It's not just...
Okay, I don't know. Maybe. Maybe I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm not sure. Noah? That's what he thought. Does that sound like? Okay, I don't know. All right, okay, you know, we'll stop it now. We'll start off with Mitzvah. Next time, we'll start the Sabbasah. It's a whole topic in of itself of Rebbe's Rabbanan. Mitzvah next year, next Thursday, so we'll finish up Sabbasah, then we'll move on to...